Studio Plus, where we chat about Chinese society as well as international events and stories.
The Dragon Boat Festival has just concluded in China. It ended on Monday, and consumption in Shanghai saw vigorous growth during the three-day Dragon Boat Festival holiday, with creative activities promoting traditional culture. Data from the city's Business Development Research Center showed that 113 large commercial enterprises achieved a total operating income of 1.94 billion yuan, that's around 300 million US dollars, from June the 12th to the 14th, an increase of 17.3% compared with last year. As monitored by China UnionPay Merchant Services, the number of visitors from outside the city and the consumption they contributed soared by 50.5% and over 61% respectively year on year. And their offline spending accounted for 34% of the city's overall offline consumption, up over 7 percentage points from the same period in the year 2020. Well, I think this is a very good result for the city's businesses. Shanghai is a very big metropolis in China, and there will be a lot of activities held. During these past 3 days, a lot of the people might have just take the opportunity and go to different places. For example, they could go to some of the theme parks located in Shanghai, like the Disneyland theme parks, and they could be going to different parks and different performance shows there in Shanghai, because the entertainment scene is also very robust in Shanghai. And that has contributed to the data of the businesses in the city. The commercial enterprises will be sharing part of the pie in terms of their revenues, because they have activities like parades, folk dance, flash mobs, and interactive activities showing archaic customs of the Dragon Boat Festival. And all these will bring in a lot of the revenue to the relevant businesses.
So the festival is called, well, the Dragon Boat Festival. So there is an event, is there an event where there is some type of rowing activity in a boat? Is there like a race?
Of course. Yeah? Dragon boat racing. That is a must for this festival.
So you got to be in really good shape to partake in this activity.
You know why I say that? Because it's, I think it's more popular in southern part of China.
Okay.
Where there are a lot of the rivers and lakes. It's more convenient for them to host such kind of activities. So for this Dragon Boat Festival, many of these southern cities and towns have held Dragon Boat racing, where you will be able to find large boats, smaller ones, usually very slim, with the rowers on
a lot of people on
board,
both
right? sides of the of the boat. If you watch the boat races between Oxford and Cambridge universities, then you will get an idea. I think the only difference is the shape of those boats.
Okay.
Usually with the boats that we use for Dragon Boat Festival,
they got big dragon heads.
We've got big dragon heads at the very front, and there will be a drama too. I can't remember.
So everyone's
at the head of the dragon boat or the tail of the dragon boat. Anyway, there is one who will beat the drum and synchronize the movements
of
the all the rowers.
Add the suspense to the whole rowing activity. I can't say that I've seen a dragon boat race before, but it seems pretty intense. I mean, especially if you have a drummer on board to like make everybody row faster, I guess.
I think their row is more like make everyone's movements synchronized.
Okay.
With rowing the boats, if you don't have a synchronized movement, the boat could be just a twirling in the water, and it won't go so fast. It has to be on the same pace for every of the rowers. I guess that's the use of those dramas on those boats. Yeah, and they sometimes would maneuver those very long, thin, canoe-like boats along very narrow water alleys in southern water towns. Sometimes the angle could be so sharp, it's really challenging that you take a turn and don't fall over.
Oh, nice. That sounds like there's some cheating that can be involved. Like if I was rowing, I could probably hit someone's boat and they could flip over and that means I would win, right?
I don't know whether there will be anyone there, like a judge who will flash out a kind of red card to you.
Oh, that's even better.
Tony Reid, you get off the boat. Cheating.
That's even better. Okay. Wow, that seems like it could be really...
That's one of the activities.
Yeah, that seems like it could be really entertaining.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've heard since I've been here in China regarding this festival is a lot of people tend to eat like some treats. And I'm forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, but it's zongzi, right?
Well, you pronounced it wonderfully.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it is zongzi. It's the sticky rice cakes.
Cakes.
Yeah, rice. We call it cakes. Basically, it's a pyramid-sized
rice ball.
Sticky, not rice ball. Pyramid-shaped.
A pyramid-shaped rice ball
cake.
But okay. It's made with rice, whatever. Right?
Yes, it's got the glutinous rice in it, okay. And it's got numerous kinds of fillings inside. Some could be the sweet ones, for example, the jujube ones.
Oh, okay.
Or the red bean paste ones.
Red bean. I think I might have had red. Well, I've had red bean in so many other.
Oh, Tony,
things.
You've had zongzi before, and you perfectly knew that zongzi won't be in the shape of a rice ball.
I've had lots of different dishes since I've been here, and I'm not really sure if I've had zongzi per se. I've had something that resembled kind of a rice ball where there's something on the inside. Sometimes it's sweet. Sometimes it's salty.
Okay. That's tang yuan. That's yuan xiao.
Oh, boy.
Glutinous rice ball. That's the food for the spring festival period, the Lantern Festival.
Uh-huh.
It's the time for us to enjoy the glutinous rice balls. And for the Duanwu Festival, the Dragon Boat Festival, the food to go is zongzi, pyramid-shaped ones.
Okay, so the difference
is the
shape. Think
about pyramids in Egypt.
Okay, well, yes.
Yes, and well, going back to the fillings, there could be the salty ones, like the fresh meat plus the egg yolks inside those zongzi. And for people who live in southern part of China, they love both the sweet ones and the salty ones, the meat ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to huge sales of such zongzi.
Okay.
In northern China, we love the... a lot of the people love the sweet ones.
The sweet ones. So people have a sweet tooth in the north, huh?
Yeah.
Well, and there's one other thing that I've read and what I've seen is it's not only is it a triangular-shaped rice treat, right?
Triangular-shaped.
Pyramid, triangular, right?
Oh, okay.
But there's also a wrapping that goes around it.
That's zongzi.
Okay.
Goodness me, finally, we are on the same page about zongzi.
Well, rice balls are also wrapped in seaweed, right? So this one is different.
No. The one that's got the seaweed is called qingtuan. That's for the... Oh, that's for the Qingming Festival.
Okay.
Tony.
So you see how confusing this can be for an outsider.
But, the bright side is that you do know quite a lot of the festival food in China.
Yeah.
Only sometimes
I may not know exactly which festival
it
is, but yeah, lots of different treats.
It's all our fault. I think it's all our fault. We should have made you remember which food goes with which festival.
But there's a banana or not banana leaf or some bamboo leaf that's wrapped around the Duanwu Festival treat, right?
Yes, that's the zongzi.
Got it.
Don't forget it again. And there are a few brand names you might want to know. For example, Wufangzhai.
So people aren't making this at home anymore.
They do. They do. A lot of the families would stick to the tradition of making the zongzi at home.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean a lot of money going to those businesses. Some would like to go to the supermarkets to buy the ready-made zongzi. They mm-hmm. can just come back home and just steam them, and they are ready to eat. And I think it's because of this kind of laziness that a lot of the brands, the zongzi brands or snack manufacturers, have earned quite a lot of money during this festival period. And I'm just going to let you know a little bit about their figures.
Sure.
For example, food companies saw a year-on-year leap of 11.3%, with special campaigns leading to a boom sales of seasonal goods such as zongzi and salted duck egg. That's also a special food for this season. But sometimes you can find the salted duck eggs too in supermarkets. You can have them all year round.
Wow.
But it's not a complete Duanwu festival.
Doesn't taste as good, right?
Without the salted duck egg. No.
It has to be on this festival.
No, Mr. Reed. For some people, this is a must-have food. They love it.
Mm.
For some other ones, maybe they don't like the taste of it. I'm assuming you might not want to try one.
Well, you mentioned how there's the seasonal appeal that it has, right? So for some things, you can eat it at certain times of the year. And if it's not, for example, like pumpkin pie, may not taste as good in January than it would in, say, November, when you have this Thanksgiving feast, and that's when most of these pies are made and when most people eat them. So I think, when I mentioned that it doesn't taste as good on certain times of the year, maybe it's because it's certain foods should be eaten at certain times of the year, or maybe we've just been seasoned in this way, right?
I think with pumpkin pie, definitely that's a seasonal food, but with the salted duck egg, it's definitely gonna be tasting the same all year round. But anyways, some people love it, some people might not. And for some other businesses, they also earn some profit during this period of time. For example, if I want to stay in a hotel, I have to pay for that. I have to pay for my accommodation, for the food, and that boosts their business too. So a lot of them have experienced some of the double-digit growth in sales just during this past couple of days.
Wow, it's amazing. Yeah, good business for them. Yeah, it's like you said earlier, right? Profiting from laziness. People don't want to make zongzi, so these companies do very, very well. And
that's,
it's a really good year, especially this year.
Well, I might want to change my word now. It's serving people and helping people live a convenient lifestyle.
Sounds a little bit difficult.
This podcast is brought to you by Studio Plus. You can find us on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favorite platforms.